Welcome to the Self Storage Insight Podcast. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about advertising and getting people in the door at your storage facility. Everybody's asking, you know, what's working with advertising? Where's the best place to spend my marketing dollars? So we're going to discuss marketing and much more in this episode. Today I'm joined by Courtney Kuzma with Affordable Storage Guys. And Affordable Storage Guys, they have facilities that they manage as well as facilities that they own. And so kind of a mixed, diverse portfolio. And so Courtney, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Excited to hear a little bit about your business and how you guys got started in the self-storage industry.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Okay, so for Affordable Storage Guys, I'm the executive vice president. I officially joined the company full-time last May. Prior to that, I was actually in surgical sales, but the company owners are Adam Kuzma and Christian Kranz, and they are based out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. They are both CRNAs. I don't know if you know it. They're nurse anesthetists within the hospital in Bowling Green.
Okay.
So in early 2017, they partnered and they started purchasing storage facilities. So that year, I believe they actually purchased three, Jefferson City, Tennessee, Rhineyville, Kentucky, and Dunlap, Tennessee, which is actually two locations.
Okay.
So along with that kind of came their first few team members. They continued to grow pretty rapidly in 2018 and 2019, bringing on multiple facilities. In 2019, they expanded their portfolio into Bowling Green, Kentucky, which again is their hometown. And it was with that purchase of our Scottsville Road location that the corporate office was created. So in 2021, Adam and Christian actually decided to go a little bit outside of their storage business, and they bought the KOA campground in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
And at that time, they started ASG Management. So ASG Management is their LLC. It's our business that houses all of our team members, which currently we employ about 42 team members. We operate 40 storage facilities across four different states, as well as the campground.
Awesome. And so just as far as that goes then, so you guys have facilities that you own as well as facilities that you manage and kind of a blended portfolio there.
Correct. We have 17 owned facilities and 23 third-party managed facilities.
Okay. And so as far as the facilities that you manage and the facilities that you own, I'm assuming that you operate them the same way. Could you kind of go into a little bit about how you guys provide on-site boots on the ground type of, that type of communication or that type of, person there at the facility and how you kind of utilize different areas and people that travel around there?
Absolutely. So to answer your first question, yes, everything is managed the same way. So our finance department is going to bill any of our owned facilities the same way that they're going to manage or the same way that they would bill or manage our third party facilities. So over the course of the last 12 months, we made major adjustments to our business model. In April of last year, we decided to split the entire business into five storage business into five districts. So each district has a director, one to three property managers, and in most cases, they're one to two site managers. A site manager is a 1099 team member that does mobile walk-arounds, mobile walkthroughs. They check lot cuts, they clean units, they utilize our software, web self-storage, but pretty much everything from their phone. Property managers, they run the day-to-day operations for all the facilities in their districts, and the directors oversee the operations in their district. They assist the property managers when needed with any of, so I think out of the five districts, there's one district that has five facilities, and then there's a couple that have seven or eight, and then there's one that has 10.
Okay.
So, but there's only 10 offices within all the 40 facilities. Okay. So we really try to have our directors focus more of their time on data-driven tasks, such as facility audits, doing research for dynamic pricing implementation, collections, reputation management, market research and participation. By that, I mean, the market is different with every facility.
Right.
And each location is in a very different area. So Knoxville is much more competitive than Katy's, Kentucky. Right. Bristol's more competitive than Rhineyville, Kentucky, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really important to know your competitors. We have a business referral program where we have like these one-page flyers where we go around and we partner with other businesses, primarily moving companies, apartment complexes, things like that, where if they give us a referral, we give those referral discounts and things of that nature. And then grassroots marketing. So especially in those small towns, they really want to see local business being involved within the community. So we do a lot of sports team sponsorships. We have charities of the month. We partner with a lot of local charities and things like that.
That's awesome. And the referral program is such a good idea too, because, you know, as we've all seen, you know, the market shift from 2022 into 2023, you know, finding creative ways to be able to increase the occupancy at your facility is really going to be crucial, because, you know, more companies are going to start pouring money into Google ad campaigns and Facebook marketing and social media. That sort of thing is going to continue to become more and more competitive. And so finding other little avenues or little angles that you can get more people into the door and utilizing that community, you know, the companies around you that are also interacting with the community. And so being able to have that referral program is really cool, as far as a really good idea to be able to get more traffic to the locations.
No, you really hit the nail on the head, because really in the bigger cities, so like Knoxville, you can't compete. So a company our size, we really can't compete with the big guys. I mean, the marketing dollars that they can assign to Google Ads, it's like I said, it's just, we can't compete with it. So It's really important to do some special things at the facility. I actually have to give credit to Ann Ballard, the hat lady. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I went and I heard her speak at SSA, and she was really talking about grassroots marketing and some ideas and the importance of it, because you can't always compete with those bigger companies. So we were doing a lot before that, but she just really drove home the importance of that and how, you know, you've got to have multiple avenues of marketing. You can't just rely on one thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the ad spend varies so much based on, you know, the market that you're in, you know, right. smaller facilities can compete in some markets. And absolutely. So that is a really good option. You know, Google Ads campaigns, you know, pay-per-click, Yelp, those kind of things work in certain markets. But yeah, if you're playing against really large competitors, you're up against REITs or whoever, you know, as far as in your market, it changes, you know, the ability that you have there as far as to generate that online presence. So it's nice to know your options. I do have one question on, because I get asked this a lot, or I hear people talk about this a lot with utilizing management companies. How often do you have someone on site at every location? Is it, you know, 2 to 3 days a week? Do you try to keep somebody there every single day, or what's kind of the strategy there?
So it really just depends. Each site is different. So yeah, before I mentioned our site managers. So site managers are 1099 team members, and typically they're going to visit a property twice a week.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if we have any properties where it wouldn't be visited twice a week. No, it would be. So sometimes if the site manager isn't going to be there twice a week, it's because we're going to have one of our property managers, district managers, or a maintenance team member there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you're going to have somebody on at your facility every week.
Okay. And then one other question I did have is with utilizing U-Haul as an option to get additional people in the door. You guys use U-Haul at most of your facilities, or is that something that you have at every facility?
No, it's not at every facility. It's at most of our facilities with offices. We have 10 offices, and it's not at every facility with an office.
Okay.
I definitely think it's worth it. Yes, we've had a wonderful experience so far partnering with U-Haul. We've seen a major marketing SEO benefit from partnering with them, especially at certain locations where we see our presence on Google rise, because mm-hmm. One, we use Web Self-Storage, which is their software, but two, we are a U-Haul provider. So that, you know, that takes us up higher on the page. Right. I also think that it's good for customers due to convenience, in the sense that you know, if you're moving, you take your stuff from your house and you're going to the facility, you unload it, and then you can drop your U-Haul truck off right there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when you're leaving, if you need to rent a U-Haul, you pick it up and then you're getting it, you know, you're emptying out your storage unit right there. You're not having to go to a different location. The convenience of the office also makes it nice because they're selling ancillary items such as boxes, tape, et cetera.
Right. And so as far as like with your experience with that, then you pretty much have to have an office though, and someone that's on site every day to offer that service, or how flexible is it?
No, we have a couple facilities where there's just one or two trucks that are parked inside the fence. So, I mean, you know, there's a whole process with U-Haul. So they have to make the reservation through their app. And then once they get to the facility and they pull up and they check in their app, then it gives them the gate code. They can go in, they can rent it, and then they can come back out. So no, there doesn't have to be an office.
Okay. And then the one other thing that I just see people ask about with it is the maintenance side of it. Do you have to do anything with the trucks? Do they send technicians out to maintain the vehicles, or is there any overhead as far as maintenance wise with offering that service?
No, there. I cannot actually think of an instance where we've had an issue with maintenance of a vehicle. The only thing that I can think of, so I personally own a facility. It's our new center facility in Sevierville. And I mean, I definitely had to spend some capital on creating an area that made sense to park the U-Hauls.
Right.
But, you know, just thinking about our current locations, it's more so managing the area in which they're parked to where it doesn't make sense so that they're not going to hit the buildings. You need to add bollards, or having the proper signage, or making sure that there's enough gravel so that there's not a muddy mess if you don't have a blacktopped facility.
Right. Yeah. And mainly I was, just alluding more to if you have to do any vehicle type things, or if there was anything that comes with that side of it. So yeah, that's a great answer. Thank you. So let's talk about your web presence or your online presence a little bit, because like I do like your websites, as far as all your facilities have a really nice clean website. They're informational, you know, you have the videos on there that highlight the facilities and that sort of thing. How big of a role do you feel like the web presence plays in with what you're doing right now?
Honestly, huge. We basically rebranded ourselves last August. We did a complete overhaul of our website, rolled out a new website, and we found great value in partnering with a digital marketer who also a website developer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's one thing when you're smaller and you're like, oh, we can play around with this and create something in-house. And then when you partner with somebody that really specializes in that, what we've learned about SEO optimization, what Google wants to see so that they look at you as a real business, what kind of information all customers are looking for is that you need to post, the importance of updating pictures, and then just the ease of use with things online. So how many clicks does somebody have to take in order to get the information they need?
Right.
You know, Google also wants you to put, they want you to have blogs on your website. You know, they want you to have pictures of your team members on your website. So we learned a ton from partnering with Curio Creative Agency, who's our website developer and our digital marketer. And we've seen a huge benefit from it.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I have these conversations pretty often with people that are, you know, they want to do something online, but they don't really know what they're doing. And there are other softwares out there that kind of offer this. You know, you can get a templated website through a lot of softwares, and they offer these minimal SEO packages that have terrible reviews and terrible feedback. And so it's one of them things where it's like, if you're going to spend marketing, if you're going to put money back into marketing, which you have to at this point, right? Like you have to be allotting some of your profit in back into marketing to grow the business or to keep your occupancy up. You really need to work with somebody that understands what they're doing and actually focuses on marketing, because there's so many metrics that you need to be looking at that if it's just something that someone else is offering you as an add-on product or something like that, like I really try to stay away from those types of things as a business, where I want somebody that's focused on marketing to be working with my company if I'm going to put marketing dollars anywhere. So I was kind of curious, and I was glad that you mentioned who you use there, and definitely we can give a shout out to them too, if in the podcast in the notes somewhere.
Oh yeah, that would be great. But no, I mean, my background is in sales. So I can't remember. I think I said this before. I used to be in surgical sales. And so, I mean, I felt as though I knew a decent amount about marketing, But then when it comes to this stuff, like I said, I've learned a great deal, and there are so many different facets about it that are important that I would highly recommend, you know, hiring on a professional or partnering with a third party in order to promote your business.
For sure. And again, yeah, I've done a lot on the tech side, and I've done a lot of online marketing and stuff as well. And I still am in the weeds a little bit. When you get to put together a Google Ads campaign and you have to put together all the keywords that you want to hit for, and then you realize like, oh, I just spent $1,000 on an ads campaign and my keywords weren't even the things that were hitting. Like there are so many nuances and things that go into that. So it's definitely, if you're going to spend the money, put it with somebody that knows what they're doing instead of trying and failing on your own for a while before you realize it's a bigger deal.
Agreed. Work smarter, not harder, right?
Absolutely. So let's kind of talk about on the management side. If a company is looking to be, you know, remotely managed, not really remotely managed, but, you know, utilizing a management service like you guys offer, what does implementation look like for a company as they get started with that?
Okay. Honestly, there's no two situations that are the same. It completely depends on the owner and the facility. So we've had some owners that truly want to be hands-off and require little involvement. And then we've had other owners that truly want to take an active role and participation in managing their business. So for one, we've had people that have come to us and said, hey, can you go find us this facility? So one, they want us to find it online or, you know, find it through relationships. They want us to do a pro forma. They want us to discuss with them how we can make it better, how it will cash flow, walk them through the numbers. They want us to introduce them to the bank and kind of do that whole process with them. And then we have some owners who, I mean, in January, we had somebody approach us who literally had signed the contract that day. They owned the facility. They just didn't know anything about storage and they needed us to hop in and run it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of that varies. Right. But once they own the facility or, you know, once we get it under contract, where we're going to start is we're going to visit the facility 1 to 3 times. And it's going to depend on who visits the facility. We may send me or somebody else from operations, or we may send maintenance. It just depends on do they need to replace a lot of doors? What does the roof look like? Do we see some maintenance problems that the owners want us to give them an estimate for capital X? Mm-hmm. You know, projects that are going to happen soon, or is it really ready to go and we just need to get all the basics, meaning we need to implement all their customers and their information into web self-storage. We need to build out the site map. We have a finance team that would work with them to get their bank information incorporated into QuickBooks. I would walk them through how, you know, we're going to give quarterly P&Ls, quarterly balance sheets, investor sheets. Some of our owners want to know about web self-storage and how they can get on there and they can run like management summaries or rent rolls every day just because they like to have a tab on their business. Mm-hmm. Our maintenance team's going to make plans such as, do we have lawn care contracts? What's the cadence in which we need to do their lawn care? Getting things set up with pest control companies, bait traps, setting up any cameras or working with Spider Door or Open Tech with keypads, making sure that we're on their monthly subscription, mm-hmm. like that.
So yeah, there's a whole lot of pieces that go into to each one of these, it sounds like, as far as, you know, making sure you have all the boxes checked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. My recommendation, or something that we implemented in the last 12 months that has been really helpful, because we brought on 3 facilities in January, was, you know, we have an acquisition board. We use monday.com. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Okay. So we have an acquisition board on monday.com and we have a process. So once we have a management contract signed, we have 4 meetings where we visit the facility and then our finance department, our operations team, our facility maintenance team, the owners, we all meet and we, you know, assign tasks and we check those off. And then at the next meeting, you know, we do a checkup and make sure that we're where we need to be and so forth, so that we don't miss any steps, because there's definitely a lot of moving pieces. And like I said, there's no two storage facilities that are the exact same.
Right. Yeah. So you really never know what you're going to run into. But it is nice to kind of know too, as far as, you know, from somebody outside looking in, like what, what type of time frame would I be looking at, you know, that sort of thing. So thank you for providing that, some of that information. Remote management, third party management has become increasingly, you know, you see a lot more companies that are trying to offer it. I even saw, you know, multiples that only have a couple facilities, and now they're just throwing their, they're throwing their name in the ring as they want to also offer third party management. Have you seen, noticed a lot more competition in the market in the last year or so, or has it not really affected you yet?
I wouldn't say it's affected us, but yes, I mean, I feel like we're more in tune with what's going on, just, you know, reading SSA magazines or ISS, or just getting all the notifications or participating on webinars. So yes, I would agree with you. There's a lot more competition in the market, but I think a couple of things that set us apart are, one, our size. Because we're a smaller company, we're going to have a conversation with you no matter what. We don't have a door minimum or a gross minimum that you have to meet in order for us to consider managing your property or to partnering with you to manage your property. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the bigger groups, they do have a size requirement for right. The facility or gross income requirement. Another thing that I've noticed, just kind of learning about some of our competitors, is a lot of competition is going to take a percentage of either your admin fees or of the insurance program for mm-hmm. tenant insurance.
Right.
So there's things like that I would just recommend anybody who's looking to have their property under third party management, you know, make sure you get the management company that works for you. Not all management companies are going to offer, catered to one-on-one attention. Some of it is more hands-off. And then make sure, like I said, you're meeting their requirements and or you're okay with the extras that they require to take, like insurance or admin fees.
Right. So yeah, just a couple things to make sure they bring up in those conversations. You know, some of them, even I've talked with, you know, multiple other management companies and things like that, you know, just more as of recent. And some of them pretty much say, like, hey, if you own the facility, but you bring us on to manage it, just stay out of it. Like, this is what we do, and we don't want you involved in it a whole lot. We're going to provide you with the reporting that you want. How involved do you allow the owners to be in still being in, you know, in the process, I guess, of running the facility versus just saying, you know, trust us to do what we do best?
So again, we have different owners that want different things. We definitely have those owners who want nothing to do with it. They just kind of want quarterly updates. Am I cash flowing? Am I, you know, how do my bills look? Do I need it? Do I have any big expenditures that I need to plan for? But then we do have some owners that definitely want to be more involved. I do think that there's a fine line in the sense that, you know, you do hire somebody to do a specific job. So they have hired us to do a job, and you've got to let us do the job. Right. But I also understand that, you know, these are capital investments. There's a lot of money involved. And so I understand wanting to know what's going on with their business. So I don't really think that there's any perfect answer. I think that it's just something that you need to make sure that you're on the same page with the owners and the management company are on the same page, and they right. understand, where that line is, as well as what the owner needs in order to be happy with the service.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it sounds like, as far as you're willing to work with people to some extent there, as far as, you know, a different level of communication for some people, how much have you seen as far as with the companies that you've brought on, that they're new operators to storage versus people that have been in storage for a long time? I was kind of curious what the shift has been with people that are bringing on management companies. And is it mainly operators that have purchased in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years since the gold rush into, you know, the COVID year? I was curious if it's mainly new operators that you guys are working with, or have you worked with some operators that have had facilities for a long time?
No, it's mainly new operators. We do have a lot of contractors. I feel like a lot of contractors are like, we know this is a good area to be in because they're involved in it and they hear about it, but they don't know anything about running a storage business. But mm-hmm. No, it's not somebody coming with 3 facilities. They've been managing it themselves, and then they just, you know, want to be out of it. It's right. People saying, I know this is a good investment. We've got money to invest. Let's go ahead and get involved with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go back to the overarching point, I guess, of managing a facility, is it is a business. It is very competitive right now. Like, there is more supply being put out, you know, than there ever has been in storage before. So if you don't have the time to invest full time into growing a facility, you know, filling up occupancy, leasing up, that sort of thing, then you really need to consider having somebody else do it, because it does require an extreme amount of time and attention to even the details of like dynamic pricing. At what point should I implement, you know, the next rate increase or adjust my street rates and stay competitive with other people? Like an independent operator that feels like, oh, I can just have this as a side business and occasionally I'll check online to see what other people are doing, that doesn't cut it right now. And so you have to be working with somebody or be super involved in your facility.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think we talked about this a little bit the last time we spoke, but, you know, during COVID and that post-COVID rush, you didn't really have to invest marketing dollars because everybody's facilities were really just full.
Right.
Then last year, as things started to slow down, we definitely saw an increase or a need for additional marketing. So Google ads, Yelp ads, social media ads, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I feel like there was this stigma early on, like I said, you know, we started learning about storage 2015, 16, 17. And it was at that point in time, we owned apartment complexes and single family homes, things like that. And the big difference was, this is so much easier to manage. All it is a box, a unit that you have to blow out, versus if you have a single family home or apartment complexes, you have to deal with so much more in renters and the way that they leave things.
Right.
And it hasn't evolved into so much more than that, between security systems and just the technology that's involved now, mm-hmm. or that could be involved at facilities, that you really have to be on top of your game. And between Google ads and I'd say dynamic pricing, that is something that you have to look at multiple times a week in order to be good at it and stay on top of it. So it's not something that you can just do, you know, look at.
Yeah, it's not a set it and forget it environment, right, at all in those areas, for sure. Yeah, and again, it also is so much based on your market as well. And so as you guys utilize having different districts and somebody that's actually monitoring each of the facilities and putting a lot of time into those metrics and things, you really have to be able to, you know, what market am I in? Where's my best place to spend ad money? What's my best way to do my pricing? And so there's a lot of things that come with experience. And so working with somebody that is also involved in other facilities and is managing other facilities, that adds a ton of value to your business, you know, where experience is expensive. You know, it costs me a lot of money to test things and fail. And so if I can use somebody else's tests and failures without paying the money to do that, you know, that comes with a huge benefit to my business. So it's definitely something to consider.
Absolutely. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. I mean, every management company out there should be focused on keeping their owners informed and daily looking at a facility's performance, revenue, and their expenses in real time. And it takes a long time to really perfect that.
Yeah. So maybe kind of to try to wrap up a little bit. I just looked up and realized we're almost 30 minutes in. So what is one question maybe that you think is really important to ask when you're looking to partner with a management company?
Right. Well, again, I'm going to go back to how involved you want to be. So I would know, especially if you're going with a bigger one versus a smaller management company like ourselves. One, I think you could probably get more one-on-one attention with a smaller management company, mm-hmm. but just me personally, you know, I own six of our facilities, and if it were me, I would want to know, you know, when do I get financial updates? Am I getting them monthly? Am I getting them quarterly, annually? You know, what do those look like? What about an investor report? I'm sure there's numerous names for it, but I just want to know about you as a business. How are you performing with all your facilities? How is your business doing? How many, you know, are you hiring and making advancements within your business, within your departments? I would want to know how they are willing to work with me personally, in the sense that, you know, what can you feasibly make happen? Can you make a weekly meeting happen, a monthly meeting happen? And what can I expect to know during those meetings? One big thing that I feel like we really get held up with owned properties versus managed properties is the time it takes to get something approved. Mm-hmm. Is obviously it's much easier for the ones that we personally own,
right,
versus getting that third party approval. So I think that there needs to be a minimum. So for instance, our maintenance team, there's a $500 minimum. Anything that you need to purchase for my facility, if it's a light or gravel or something, if it's under $500, I just need you to get it done. Mm-hmm. or if it's over, call me and let's have a discussion, that kind of thing. So I think it's important to have a minimum like that. But also, you know, with pricing, raising rates, I'm sure every investor, every owner has a pro forma and they're expecting a specific return. So I would recommend understanding what that goal is so that you can, as a management company, you can make adjustments with rates and fees and their income without having to check in with them every time, because I don't think it's feasible to have to ask every time in order to raise a rate or make an adjustment. So I think things would run, I think things run much more smoothly if there's an understanding of what that end goal is.
Right. And for sure. And I mean, as you're bringing, you know, your experience and everything onto the table, it feels like they should be okay with most of those decisions that you're making within the pricing, but having that conversation up front and making sure you understand how they run their business, how they run their other facilities is really important to make sure it aligns with what you're looking for as an owner. So yeah, that's absolutely really, really good insight. I guess one kind of final question would be, have you ran into any, you know, crazy stories at any of the facilities that you own or anything that you'd be okay with sharing? Any wild stories?
Oh my gosh. I wish I had great things to tell you. I don't. I mean, I can tell you where, you know, where our pains are. Gates, you know, it's hard with gates, especially in the South, when I feel like in the spring and the fall, when it starts to frost over the sensors, you know, you have all kinds of trouble. So trying to mitigate the delays with that, so that you don't anger customers, making sure that a gate opens and closes, because 24/7 access is really a big deal, especially for customers who are businesses and need to get in at odd and odd time. But also just knowing, hey, if you, you're about ready to have a snowstorm, or if you're about ready to have a freeze, make sure that there's a drip in there, so you're not getting any, you're not walking into any flooded buildings or broken water pipes, things like that. But no, as far as crazy stories, I mean, you know, we've definitely found some interesting things in some storage units, or people trying to live in storage units, things like that. But
yeah,
no, nothing.
So when you offer 24/7 access, have you had any issues with vandalism or break-ins through offering that 24/7 access? And I'll kind of just paraphrase, I've talked to multiple owners and they just do this differently. And so I'm kind of curious how you do it. Is like, you know, if businesses want 24/7 access, then they can provide licenses or something to show that they're a business, and they deny 24/7 access to individuals just because of those, you know, break-ins, that sort of thing, to provide additional security. Have you noticed where you need to add any of those measures, or have you not had any issues with that?
You know, I have heard that strategy, and I do think it's a good strategy. I also think that, like I said before, every facility is different. Every location is different. So off the top of my mind, there are two locations that I have, that we have, that I think that that would really be beneficial, where, hey, if you can provide us a business license so that we understand why you need that kind of access, we can provide that to you. But in all honesty, I can't say that 24/7 access is the reason why we've had specific break-ins. I feel like the break-ins tend to occur when at facilities where you have gates, fences. And last year we had 7 fences get damaged from lightning strikes. Wow. And that, so we had a couple gates that were open for a while, and Scott Zucker, you obviously know that name.
Yeah.
He had recommended that, you know, if you can get something fixed quickly, that, you know, obviously communicate with your tenants, let them know what's going on. But as long as it's in a timely manner, you're good. But there was one that took months to get fixed. So hiring someone, hiring a rent-a-cop to be there at night, if it's not the best area, is, you know, something to consider for sure. But those are really the times where we've experienced break-ins. And honestly, our break-ins aren't even really, we don't see more break-ins at our facilities without gates than we do with our facility with gates. I mean, I feel like the main thing is the gates down. Okay, do we have a problem here? Do we need to get a rent-a-cop? What can we do to mitigate this?
Right. Yeah. And I guess like, you know, the market that you're in would obviously play a role in that as well, as far as some areas are going to be higher likely for that sort of thing. So awesome. Right. Well, thank you for all your input. And I really enjoyed having you on the podcast with me today. And look forward to to doing it again sometime and staying in touch. So I appreciate all your time. If somebody wants to get a hold of Affordable Storage Guys, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Our corporate contact information is on our website. There's an email and there's a phone number there. So just give us a shout. And if you need somebody specific, you know, call me, ask for me, and I'm happy to talk to you.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Self Storage Insight Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Just a quick reminder, this episode was brought to you by CC Storage. CC Storage is a no-cost property management software that allows you to pass the fees for credit card processing on to your tenants, freeing up some CapEx space for your business and helping you more efficiently run your storage facility. If you'd like to learn more about CC Storage, click the link in the description below, and we hope to see you again for our next episode.